If you would, please turn your Bibles to First Chronicles, chapter 16. Today I'd like to speak about being thankful. I was in the office yesterday and I was praying, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? Audie said thankfulness. I thought, Lord, that's not very unique. It's not very surprising, considering this is Thanksgiving coming up, but that's what he laid on my heart. And I'd rather speak on what he wants than something I want. So we're going to do that. The expression in your Bible, give thanks, occurs 34 times. I like to look up a passage or a word or phrase and see how often it occurs. 1 Chronicles 16 has four of those. 1 and 2 Chronicles has six of those. So there's a theme here in this chapter about giving thanks. So we're going to look at just two of the verses, and then we're going to look at some things that I'm thankful for. Some of them may not apply to you personally, but many of them probably will. And we'll look at them briefly. We'll look at 20 different things. I started writing down on a piece of paper different things I was thankful for. Deacon was talking about a list, and Dad makes his list on legal pads with Sharpies, and I make mine on pieces of copy or paper with pen, but I definitely do take after my dad in that aspect. Thank you, sir. 1 Chronicles 16. I'm going to look at verses 8, and then 34. Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And slide down to verse 34, if you would. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. 20 things for which I am thankful today. Number one, I'm thankful for salvation. We sing a little chorus, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. I want to break this down into specifics, so there'll be a couple different aspects of salvation that I want to thank the Lord for today. But I'm thankful for my salvation from sin. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We aren't saved so that we can get away with sin, or that sin can be justified. We see Paul wrote about those that use the grace of God to lasciviousness, saying that it's all under the grace of God. You know, we can live how we like. That's not the point at all. The Bible says that he shall save his people from their sins. Now, you know me well enough to know we're not talking about sinless perfection. When someone is saved, that does not mean they're perfect. But that means that it ceases to become a lifestyle, something that is consistent or continuous. We've talked in times past about when you add ETH to the end of a word, how that means consistently, over and over and over again. 1 John 3:6 says this, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. When someone is saved, the lifestyle of sin is no longer there, a new creature. Number two, I am thankful for my salvation from hell. Many people think that's the only reason for being saved, that salvation is a get-out-of-hell-free card. That's what salvation is primarily preached as, primarily taught as, but it is a big aspect, all right? Salvation from sin is very important. Salvation from hell is also very important. I think of the rich man. Remember when he died, he opened up his eyes. When he lifted up his eyes, he was in hell. He was in torment. One of the messages that dealt with me when I was young and under conviction was a message by Brother Jeff Clement about the eternity of hell. And I told Rachel this last week. I said, the thing that that as humans we cannot understand is eternity. Because everything in this life has an end. It eventually will be over. I said, some people try to put off death because they think it'll shorten their time in eternity. You know, if they can live a little longer, if they can be a little healthier, they can put off going to hell for eternity. And there is that aspect of you want them to have as much opportunity and chance as possible. You want them to be saved. But eternity goes on forever. A person dies now or 10 years from now, they still will have the same amount of time in hell because it goes on and on and on. We were in Gainesville, Georgia this July for the camp meeting when the end of the Casey Anthony trial was happening. And we were in the hotel room, and I turned on the news right when the verdict was reached by the jury and announced by the judge. And I know that's a trial that brings a lot of passion on both sides. Some think she was guilty, some think she's not. And whether you think she is or not, it's not really relevant to my point. We watched the verdict, and you could actually watch on the news TV screen there. You could actually watch her face. And I will never forget, Lord willing, as long as I live, the relief on her face when she realized that she did not have to face the death penalty. And a lot of people are saying, well, she deserved to die. Let me put it to you this way. Every one of us in here has been given a verdict of guilty and are guilty of sin against God. And we deserve to die eternally in hell. But salvation provides the ultimate pardon where you don't have to face the death penalty. That's amazing to me. It's not something I don't think we'll ever completely understand. But I am thankful for being saved from hell. We sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm thankful that I'm saved from hell. Number three. I'm thankful not only that I'm saved from hell, but that I have been promised heaven. It's one thing to be taken out from underneath the punishment. It's another to be handed something that you can't compare with. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is reserved for believers. It's a place that we should want our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors to go to. We should want them to go to. Now, I'm also thankful that it's a place that's reserved for believers because there are some people in their lost state I really don't want to share heaven with. There are people that are so wicked, so vile, I don't want to share heaven with the Adolf Hitlers of this life. I would have loved for Adolf Hitler to be saved. But it's a place that's reserved for believers. It's a place that God has prepared for us. I am thankful for heaven. We are told that it's approximately 12,000 furlongs and that it's four square. I did the math, and that's roughly 3.3 million cubic miles. It is a huge place. I can't understand exactly how big that is, but there are people who argue that the Bible says mansions and it should be rooms. That's one big house and that there are rooms for us. But if something is roughly 3.3 million miles big, then I have confidence that I can have a mansion, that you can have a mansion too. God has prepared mansions for us there. There are jokes in our family about our mansions. Robin, we all know, is going to have a Mountain Dew fountain in her front yard. I feel quite confident that John will have a fountain with chicken wing sauce. But there is something that we can look forward to far beyond just Mountain Dew or chicken wing sauce or even some other things. I've had some involvement in college with precious metals. I worked in the fine jewelry department of the store and got to admire some very, very pretty things that God has put here on earth, between diamonds and rubies and emeralds and all sorts of things. But I can't comprehend a place where asphalt is fine gold and walls are made of jasper. I can't comprehend it, but I'm looking forward to it. It's a place to be thankful for and a place to look forward to. In my lifetime, I've had the opportunity to visit some people that have some really large, nice homes, much finer, much nicer than anything I have or ever will have. And it gives me somewhat of an idea of heaven. I like to drive on the terrace in Hagerstown and look at some of the big homes. The Tudor is my favorite to look at and realize someday we'll have homes that will make those look pretty poor. I'm thankful for heaven. Number four, I am thankful for my Savior. He came to earth and he gave up heaven to spend time here to save you, to save me from hell and prepare a place for us in heaven. When I lived in Venezuela, I had a chance to visit some of the rougher places in Puerto Ordaz. One's called Campo Rojo, which is Red Camp. It's a very poor, very dangerous area, especially for an American. I've been able to see some very poor areas in Brazil. And sometimes when I'm in there, I wonder, do these people understand what all the missionaries have given up to come here? I think of John, my brother. You remember the house that he had and how large it was and how he's given that up and his life here to go down there and live in a pavilion that they've closed in. And I wonder, do they really appreciate what my brother has given up? Then I realize that that's rather selfish of me. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He left heaven, that wonderful place we just spoke of, to come here to save us from our sins. And look how we treated him. Not very well. But he came here, and we crucified him. Isaiah 53 says, he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he openeth not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. If ever there was a time to retort or have a comeback, the Lord Jesus Christ certainly had every right in the world to do it, but he didn't. I'm thankful for my Savior. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I am thankful for his perfect, sufficient, one-time sacrifice. We sing, once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. I'm thankful not only that he paid the price for our sins, your sins, my sins, but that he offers it freely. There's nothing we can do to pay him back, but he doesn't charge us. There's no way we could have paid him back, but he offers it free of charge. Acts 16:31 says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I'm thankful for my Savior. Number five, I am thankful for the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls him the Comforter. He's that inner conscience that leads and guides the believer. Jesus said that it would be better for him to leave so that the Comforter would come. He used the word expedient. We're better off with the Comforter here than when Jesus was here. It's hard for me to understand that, but I know this, that I can pray through the Holy Spirit on behalf of my siblings thousands of miles away, for my sister 500 miles away. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he was in one place. He had the ability to be in any place, but with the Comforter, I have him in my heart. My sister Laura has him in her heart. My brother-in-law, my siblings in Brazil. He is with everyone in their hearts that are believers. We also know that anything accomplished through us is done by the Holy Spirit. We can't take any credit for it. He works in areas that we can't control or even affect, and that's a relief. Things that we can't affect, he has complete control over. The night I got saved, Brother Ray Bearden was preaching on Nicodemus. I heard a message on hypocrisy. I went back over the tape. Nothing in that message had to do with hypocrisy at all. When I thanked Brother Ray Bearden for his message on it, he didn't know what I was talking about. The Holy Spirit gave a message to me that I needed. I didn't need to hear about Nicodemus, the rich ruler, coming to speak to Jesus that night. I needed to hear about hypocrisy, and that's what I heard that night. Last week, I was in a church in Vienna, Ohio, and there was a young lady who'd been rebelling against her parents, had not been saved, 15 years of age. Excuse me, I preached Sunday morning on Roman Catholicism. But the Holy Spirit spoke to her about rebellion, and she was saved. Nothing to do with me. God just used what I said, and he spoke to her heart. Makes no sense to me. It's nothing I could have done. I didn't know this young lady's heart. Never met her before in my life. But that's what the Holy Spirit could do. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that I can pray to him for lost loved ones, and he can affect them. People that won't listen to me, that don't have time for me, but the Holy Spirit can deal with them. Number six, I am thankful for God's Word. Psalm 119:105 tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Excuse me, we see that it's a prevention for sin. Psalm 119:11 tells us, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We talked in Sunday school about God's Word being the final authority for our lives. By it, we have our standard. I'm thankful for the Bible because like Him, or God's Word, excuse me, because like Him, it doesn't change. We sing the song, "The Bible Stands." The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone, I expect to live it, and to prove it, and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I love the Bible, for in it we see God's love letter to us. It's His story of salvation, protection, and provision. I'm thankful for God's Word. Number 7, I'm thankful for this church. It was here I was raised. It was here that I was saved. I am thankful for your prayer and your provision for the Conversion Center. I'm thankful for the time that you take not only to pray for me personally, but also for my ministry. I'm thankful for a church family that cares enough to keep up with what's going on in my personal life and also in the ministry. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us this: "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We've had our games at Sunday School picnics about each other, missionaries, you know, who am I? We've played those games before. And you folks have played those good naturedly, but I'm very thankful for a church that cares about each other as individuals. I'm thankful for a church that has stayed right over the years. Though many have left and tried to take you with them, I'm thankful that you have stood. I'm thankful for the Sunday school teachers that try to put God's Word in our little ones' lives and in their hearts. It's encouraging to me to see all those little feet running up the steps today for junior church and listening to them being taught God's Word right now and also during the Sunday school hour. And missionary helpers, I am very thankful for the people that take time out of their busy lives and schedules to prepare to teach. I'm thankful for those who sacrifice personal comforts and pleasures to provide for missions. You know, I get to keep in pretty close contact with Dr. Ziner. He and I have become good friends in the last couple of years, and it's exciting to me to hear the things that God is doing through him. And as a church, we have a part in that. December 1st, he'll be in China. He's been in Thailand. He's been in the Philippines. There are many different places that man gets to go that we have a part in because we pray for him and we support him. Because of you, there is a smartphone application that is available across the world to help people reach Roman Catholics. Not very popular, not always well received, but because of you and your provision, that is possible and in existence today. I'm thankful for a church that has a burden and a vision. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm thankful for a church that has a vision. Number 8, I'm thankful for a spiritual family. I find that the more I get out into other churches in other states and other parts of this country, that there's a strong bond with other believers. I'm thankful for a family that crosses cultural barriers, geographical barriers, ethnic barriers, racial barriers. I am thankful for a spiritual family. I'm excited. In January, I get to go be in some churches ranging from St. Louis to Chicago and Milwaukee. It's going to be and possibly Indianapolis. I'm going to be on a long trip, but I get to be in a lot of different areas. One of the places I'll get to be is with Dr. Phil Stringer's church in downtown Chicago. And he has a church that is very diverse as far as nationalities and racial lines. It's amazing, the group that he has. It kind of reminds me of what Brother Bob Feather had in Athens, Greece. I get to go be with them. Someone asked Lance Carpenter, "What is it that you do for a living?" And many of you know he's a singer who gets to go sing in meetings and camp meetings and revivals. And he says, "I'm traveling around meeting my family." And that's what I get to do. I get to go meet my spiritual brothers and sisters. And it's exciting to me to see the similarities, people that I've never met before, and feel the bond between brother and sister in the Lord. This last January, we were coming through from Georgia, and we stopped at a church in Wytheville, Virginia. And these people didn't know who we were, didn't know what we were about, knew nothing about us. But it was exciting to me to meet people that believe very similarly to the way we do and see the heart and warmth that they had for other believers. And I enjoyed that very, very much and look forward to seeing those people again. I'm thankful for a spiritual family. Number 9, I'm thankful for my earthly or physical family. It's especially gratifying to me when they are believers as well. It's difficult this time of year to know that our family won't be together and that they're not going to be together unless there's a funeral or a wedding, possibly ever again. But I'm thankful that I have any family at all. There are some who don't. One of the men that I looked up to, I should say, growing up was Cal Ripken Jr., played baseball for the Baltimore Orioles. This last week he was in Japan where the tsunami hit. And he was quoted in the press as saying he was amazed at how the young people have used baseball as a release for those that have lost their homes, their possessions, and the kids that have lost their families. But I'm thankful for my physical family, those that still live. UNICEF said that in 2006, across the world, there were 143 million orphans. That's a lot of people. That's almost half the population of the United States. I had parents growing up, and I'm thankful my parents still live. I didn't have grandparents. My one grandfather lived far, far away and died when I was young. But I'm thankful that I had parents. I'm thankful for my siblings, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. Some say, well, I don't have much of a family. Be thankful for what you do have. And sometimes you can adopt people to be your family that aren't necessarily your physical family, but you can warm up to them like they are your physical family. I'm thankful for the family that I do have. Number 10, I'm thankful for my wife. Those of you who have a spouse can be just as thankful. I'm thankful for a wife who loves me and puts up with me. The Bible teaches the wives that they're to love their husbands. We're not the most lovable people on God's green earth. But I'm thankful for a wife that loves me. Some will say, Mark, you don't know how bad my husband or wife is. And that's probably true. I don't. But you married them. But let me tell you this. I read in the newspaper of mothers killing their kids and the fathers coming home and discovering it. I'm glad that's not me. I read of football coaches and the things that they're getting into. And I'm glad that I don't have a spouse that's into that. I am thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my spouse. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I'm thankful for my spouse. Number 11, I'm thankful for my friends. You may think this is repetitive, but not all of my family are friends, and you probably could say the same thing. But I'm thankful for friends. Friends make life a bit more enjoyable and much more tolerable. Proverbs 17:17 tells us this, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Some of our friends, they don't stay friends. You heard the expression, with friends like that, who needs enemies? If you've ever read the book of Job, look at his friends, kind of wonder. But I'm thankful to have true, good friends. In the last maybe 8-9 years, I can think of three dictators or heads of terrorist groups that have died tragically, come to tragic ends. And we've had two, maybe in the last year, that have died. And they've died tragically, and the reports from both cases are that those close to them, were amazed at how many people left them. People that had it under control for years upon years, and they thought all these people were loyal to them, but when the rubber hit the road, their friends left. How many times have you seen that happen? Maybe not close to you, but maybe at a distance, you've seen someone that had a financial empire, had a lot of money, and something happened, and they lost it, and boom, they had next to no friends. No one had any time for them. They were too busy with this or with that. Then's when you find out really who your friends are, if they're going to stick with you. The Bible says that they are there for you in adversity, and they loveth at all times. Be thankful for true good friends. Number 12, I am thankful for my health. Now, we could all give a list, and we probably do, of what's not working properly, what hurts, what could look better, better looking, what we wish were just a little different or a little less of or a little more of, but we have health. And I'm looking across here, and I don't see anyone here that had to be wheeled in. We were all able to get here on our own 2 feet. God allowed you to have the health you do. In the United States, there are roughly 250,000 people that have had spinal cord injuries and are not able to walk. Right around 120,000 of those are not able to move from the neck down. Not a one of us are in that situation today. We have health. We don't have to have someone take care of us in that aspect every day. I am thankful for that. As I move around in sports, I see injuries that are very close, just a little bit of a difference, and it could have paralyzed. My wife and I were at a game at North High. North High was playing Boonesboro, was maybe 2-3 years ago. And a player from Boonesboro went up for a shot, and a kid accidentally undercut him, and he fell on his head. Do you remember very distinctly? Barry Brown, a friend of mine, is a physical therapist. A lot of medical personnel happened to be there that night. It's a little bit of a rabbit trail, but bear with me. Happened to be there, and they were on the court instantly. And it took probably 50 minutes to an hour to get him off the court. He couldn't move from the neck down. And it's amazing to me. I had that happen in a game I played. A kid ran into bleachers head first, diving for a ball, and was paralyzed for a short time. But this kid was hauled out of a North High gym a couple years ago, and they didn't know if he'd ever be able to walk again. His family was all torn up. I saw him last night at Boonesboro. He's doing just fine. It's amazing to me how close so many of us have come to situations like that, yet the Lord has spared us. This kid's doing just fine. I was able to chat with him for some time. I was glad to see him. God has allowed us to have health. How many times have we come close to car accidents or any kind of accidents like that, yet God has spared us? I am thankful for health. 3 John verse 2 says this, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I'm not preaching health and wealth. I was awake early last week and was watching one of the health and wealth televangelists on the television. And if you're right with God, everything's going to be great. You'll have lots of money. You'll have great health. I would like to ask him that same question 35, 40 years when he's very, very old and not able to move. But we're not promised tomorrow. So let's be thankful for the health we have today, and let's make the most of it. I know of a lady in her 90s that asked her pastor, you know, why is God allowing me to live? And you might change that question to, God has allowed me to live. What would God have me to do? That was Paul's first question after he was saved. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Your health may not be as good as it was several years ago, but it's better than it will be several years from now. So find out what God has in store for you and do it. I'm thankful for my health. Number 13, I am thankful for my clothes. Now, you might wonder at that a little bit, but think about it with me. As Americans, we have a lot of clothes. We have a lot of nice clothes. In October, as I was telling Sunday school, we went to Plymouth Plantation. And we saw a site set up like the original Plymouth, Massachusetts. And as we watched the people move around, and they were in character for 1627, I paid attention to their clothes, and primarily shoes. Shoes are interesting to me. I had a better appreciation for their surviving the winters. Because I've had ankle surgeries and I have a knee surgery, the shoes are important for the stability of the foot. And I was looking, and basically they had a piece of leather and one wrapped over. Very uncomfortable on the mountainsides that they had to work on. They had very little to work with. And how they survived is a testament to God. They had their clothes, they had their long sleeve shirts and their garb, and some of them had wraps that they could put around. But other than that, they had no clothes. Here in the United States, we have t-shirts, we have long sleeve shirts, we have sweatshirts, we have sweaters, hoodies, jackets, wraps, parkas. All they had were shirts and a wrap. We should be thankful for the clothes that we do have. Many places in the earth, people may have another set of clothes to switch out. They may not have. Here in America, we have a lot of clothes. We have nice clothes. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was born in a stable and laid in a manger, all they had to give him were swaddling clothes. When he died, he even lost his robe. They split it there at the foot of the cross. We have been very spoiled as Americans. We should be thankful for our clothes. Number 14, I'm thankful for food. I've never lacked for it. I may not have had my choice. I may not have had as much as I wanted, but I've never lacked for food. Each year we are told by the World Health Organization that 15 million children will die from starvation. That is approximately the population of New York City and the surrounding metropolitan area. The World Health Organization also tells us that roughly one-third of the world is starving, or approximately 2.3 billion people, roughly seven times the population of the United States, are starving right now. That's not the case with any of us here today. We have plenty of food. I'm thankful for food. They say one in three children under five in sub-Saharan Africa are malnourished. They don't have enough food. But for some reason, and I can't explain it, God has allowed me to be here where I have plenty of food. I can't explain it, but I can instill a thankfulness in my kids and let them realize God has blessed us. We have food. I was complaining to the Spees. I must confess that I'm not a big fan of turkey. But I'm thankful for turkey. Don't prefer it, but I can be thankful for it. The children of Israel had only manna to eat during their wanderings in the wilderness. God provided food, not a variety, but we have a lot of variety here in the United States. I lived in Venezuela in 1998 with Robin. The major supermarket chain, I think it was, Sano Tome, opened up a big grocery store, and it was the pride of the town. I think there were roughly 1.5 million people in that town, and it was the talk of the city. They have a big grocery store. And the grocery store that they had currently in most of the neighborhoods there, Santo Tomé's, were roughly a third of the size of a Food Lion. They were small, but you'd go in there, you get what you need, and if you saw something you liked, that was great, but they might not have it next week. So I thought, Robin, we got to go see this new grocery store. It's wonderful. It's huge. Let's go look at it. So we went in, and they had the exact same things and the exact same selection. They had one kind of pasta in one size bag, and that was it. They just had six shelves of it, 20 feet long. There was no variety. It was the exact same selection that they had at all the smaller places, just a whole lot more of it. I'm told that they don't have as much of it now because of the situation they have in their country. In this country, there's a massive variety. Talk to missionaries when they have been away for some time. Talk to my siblings. First thing that they want to do is they want to go to Walmart because they want to see the selection. We dread Walmart because of the traffic, but they're thrilled to go to Walmart to see the selection. We have been spoiled when it comes to food. Number 15, I am thankful for a home. I was trying to find out statistics for how many homeless there are in the world, and I was essentially told that it's impossible to get an accurate number, simply because different nations have different definitions of homelessness. For example, Dad said when he was in Egypt, three families will share an apartment, and a family will have it from midnight to 8 o'clock, and then another family will come in from 8 o'clock to 4 in the afternoon, and then the third family has it for the next 8 hours. So they're not considered homeless because they have a home, but for 16 hours they don't. That would not be considered homeless in Egypt. So it's hard to pin down a definition. So I could not find an exact number of how many homeless there are in the world. The numbers I was getting was between 100 million and 500 million. That's a huge gap, I know, but that's still a lot of people. I did find out that roughly 1.5 million people in the United States are homeless. I'm thankful I have a home. Sometimes I wish we had a bigger nicer, newer place. But yet, we have a place. We have a roof over our head. We have a place that's warm, which this time of year is important. It's nice to have a cool place in the summer, but it's important to have a warm place in the winter. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 20, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth to pay for your sins and pay for my sins. He didn't have a home. I have a home, and I'm thankful for it. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Food and clothes. There's nothing in there about housing. We're blessed. We all have homes. It's not the American way to be thankful for just any old place to stay. But we're to be thankful and content with food and raiment. I'm very thankful for a place to stay. Number 16. I am thankful for work. Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor. It also says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, in the last half of the verse, that if any man would not work, neither should he eat. I am thankful for work. I am thankful for the health to work. Again, some body parts don't function as well as I'd like them to. Painful, sore, stiff, but I'm thankful that I have work. Some will say, "Well, I can't get a job. It's very difficult right now." Find somewhere to do something. Volunteer. Ask the pastor if there's something that needs done. I guarantee you there's a list somewhere on a legal pad in Sharpie that he has a list of things that can be done around. You guys laugh, but come over to their house and look right beside to the left of his recliner, and you'll see lists. I guarantee you, if you don't have a job and you're looking, in the meantime, find something to do. Work is good for you. I know a man that's retiring from his career. He'd been in his job for 38 years. And instead of sitting back and taking it easy, this is what he says. He's excited to get on with what the Lord would have for him. He's excited to do something productive. 38 years in a career, and he's excited to move on to the next thing for what the Lord would have him to do. Number 17, I am thankful for trials. That's a hard one to say and be honest on. But we need to be thankful for trials. Each trial that comes my way is God's preparation for something. We may not understand it, but it is. Those of you who played sports, do you remember conditioning practices? In basketball, we had trash cans very near the court for a reason. Conditioning practices have a purpose. Because even though we did not understand it at the time, the coach knew what would be required of us. They were driving, consistent, 2 hours, quick moving, until you couldn't stand anymore. You'd get cramps in the front and back of your legs, all over your body. But the coach knew what was coming for you. It seemed like a trial then, but halfway through the season, you figured out that the coach knew better and was putting you through those steps in preparation. There were times in my high school career where we would play 5 games in 6 days. That's a lot for basketball. But the coach knew how to prepare. I had smart basketball coaches. But the Lord is by far smarter than they. He knows what's coming next. And he prepares you. The trials that he puts us through are conditioning for who knows what. One of the things that I hear in constant, especially with the sport of football, is that conditioning is crucial to stay safe. It's when people are out of shape that they get hurt, especially seriously, because their bodies aren't conditioned for the dangers. Now, why are you talking sports, Mark? God conditions us with trials. If we haven't been put through trials and become stronger for it, then the first wave of opposition or rough difficulty comes through can completely wipe us out, spiritually speaking or emotionally speaking. God allows trials to come along our way. They're not pleasant. They're not fun. But it's God's preparation. We sing the song, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Though your testing seems long, in darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold." There's an expression in the world that they say, what doesn't kill me will only make me stronger. It's not entirely correct. I can think of a lot of things that can then damage you. But we know in God's service, the trials that He allows us to go through are for His glory. God got a lot of glory out of the trials that Job went through, and Job turned out the better for it. 1 Peter 1:7 tells us that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We were talking about pewter in Sunday school. Pewter is silver with lead in it. How do you get the lead out? That sounds like the cliche. Now, how do you get the lead out of the pewter? You melt it. Is that very convenient or very kind to the silver? Some would say, oh, that's hurting the silver's. Look, it no longer has the shape that it does, but you get the lead out of it, and now it is pure silver and is much more valuable and much safer to eat off of. The trials are like a fire. They're meant to purify us. Be thankful for the trials. Number 18, I'm thankful for the blessings and encouragements. I know that all the previous things, you can look at them and be considered blessings, but some things just don't fit in a set category. So kind of lumped them all together. Sometimes we need encouragements and blessings that get us through life. Little things, big things, but we need encouragement. I get an encouragement when the little children's church kids come up here and sing. They sing their little songs with all their little hearts. I get a real blessing out of that. I get a blessing out of someone who's been saved as a result of our ministry here in the church or as a result of the conversion center. That is an encouragement to me. Get nasty letters, nasty comments from people, nasty reviews. But I get an encouragement when someone says your ministry or your church has been a blessing to me. There's a little chorus called the Doxology. It's actually the last verse of a much longer song, but it says, praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Excuse me, first line is, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We're to thank Him for the blessings. Sometimes we need to look for them. We need to not forget to be thankful for them when they come. And not be thankful that, you know, not just ignore it and say that it's a good time and we'll pray to God in the bad times. Be thankful for the good times. Ephesians 1:3 at the end says, Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Be thankful for the blessings and encouragements God sends our way. Sometimes they're not very often. Makes them that much sweeter when we get them. Number 19. I am thankful for God's creation and the weather. Now, don't glare at me. I'm not an environmentalist. I don't hug trees or worship Mother Earth or anything like that. But I am thankful for the creation that God has given us. It is a beautiful thing. Even in this half of the country, you can go up to New England and see the beautiful shores. The leaves are gorgeous in New England in the fall. You have the Adirondacks. Nowhere else in the world, I'm told, can you hear thunder roll off the mountains like you do in the Adirondacks of upstate New York. We have the Mid-Atlantic area. The Mid-Atlantic area here in this part of the country, we have four seasons. Not everyone can say that. In the South, they worry about ice in the winter, but they don't have a nice winter. We have a nice winter, we have a good spring, we have a hot summer, and a beautiful fall. We have four distinct seasons here. I'm thankful for that. I enjoy it. In East Tennessee and North Carolina, you have the Smokies. They are beautiful. The Smokies are a beautiful set of mountains. I am thankful for those. In Florida, there are beautiful beaches. In Georgia, you have nice hills. I am thankful for the creation that God has given us. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine hills from whence cometh my help. And that's when an environmentalist will stop. Because they want to pray to Mother Nature, Mother Earth. But the Bible goes on to say, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The more you see of God's creation, the more you realize just how powerful and great God is. If you've never been out to Siling Hill west of Hancock, you should go through the cut in the rock sometime and see the ripples in the rock and see how God created the mountains through the power of the flood. If you're sick and tired of hearing about the cutting down of the rainforest in the Amazon. You should fly over at one time. It looks like broccoli. You cannot see the ground. God created that rainforest so fertile that no matter how hard we try, we will not be able to destroy it. God's creation is a beautiful thing. I had the opportunity flying back from Brazil. I was on a Brazilian airline, so we were able to fly over Cuba. But the first time I went to Brazil, coming back in January, we were over Cuba on an overnight flight when the sun came up. The sunrise over Cuba is absolutely gorgeous. God's creation is a beautiful thing. I'm not a nature lover, but I can appreciate what God has given to us. I used to listen to the Saturday morning program that was on a radio station nearby. It was called Uncle Bob. And each week, this guy would interview someone acting like an animal. And each week, they would go through the list of characteristics that that animal would have, that God put in them for their particular area. You remember early on in our marriage, we had two Siberian Huskies. In the summer, they were dying to get inside because it was too hot. In the winter, you couldn't keep them inside because they were wanting to get out in the cold. God created the Siberian Husky not for the rainforest of Brazil, but for the cold sections of our country. Couldn't happen by evolution. If he hadn't created them that way, they would have died in the parts of Siberia that they come from. You wouldn't want to bring an iguana from Brazil to northern New York. It would freeze even in the summertime. God has created this earth to be a representation of how great he is. I'm thankful for weather, for in it we see God's cycle of life. We see his provision of water in various forms. I was thinking about it. We see dew. We have frost. We have rain, sleet, snow, ice. God doesn't send us water in just one form. We have variety. And you may not like snow. You may not like ice. You may not like sleet. That's okay. But God has given us a variety. At least we live in a part of the world where we have a variety of things to enjoy. We should be thankful for that. I'm thankful that we live in an area that gets cold enough to kill germs. If you're in Brazil, you see that it never gets cold enough to kill off the germs. And you see why people get so sick, because the germs continually are reproducing and growing. We don't have that problem here. Number 20, and lastly, I'm thankful for my country. She has her faults, but she's a good land to live in. God has blessed her, and most of all, God has been patient with her. Because of this country, we have freedom to meet. We have freedom to worship. We don't agree with everything she's doing. We may not agree with a lot of things she's doing, but we should be thankful for her. I'm thankful for a land where we can freely travel from state to state. Do you know that's the reason they call them the United States? Because you can travel freely from state to state. Do you know how much more difficult my job would be if we couldn't? If we had to have passport or visas to travel between Pennsylvania? Coming to church would be an ordeal. I mean, probably half of us, more than half of us, would have an ordeal coming to church because we live in a different state. We live in the four-state area. That could be quite interesting. But we live in a place where it's easy to travel from state to state. In Brazil, you have to show your passport. You have to show papers, that sort of thing. And even in states, you have police checkpoints. Things like that slow you down. We don't have that here in this country. We have a lot of freedoms to look forward to and be thankful for. I think of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was doing his ministry and when the apostles were carrying out his great commission. Think of the environment that they had to work in. They had to work with the Roman Empire, such a desperately wicked bunch of people to work under, and that they had to follow their rules. Joseph, you remember, had to go back to his home city of Bethlehem to pay a tax. We don't have that. We have the ability to pay our taxes wherever we live. I am thankful for a country with the freedoms that we have today. In closing, this week as we have Thanksgiving, let's remember to be thankful for all that God has provided. This has not been an exhaustive study. It's not been complete. You can change the list however you like. It may be different for you. There may be some things in there that you don't have. Some of the things that you have, I don't. But be thankful for what God has given to you. We don't deserve anything. We deserve that spiritual death. We deserve hell forever and ever. But God has provided salvation for us. One of the songs that we have in our hymn book is called Thanks to God. I want to close by reading you its words. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and stormy fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Not an easy to thank God for prayers that he's denied us. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Instead of looking at others and saying, I wish I had more, let's be thankful for what we do have. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in thee tomorrow. Thanks through all eternity. Brother Jones.